Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. Ephesians 2:1. The scripture says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and by nature were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God." Notice that. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." Father, anoint the word now as it goes out today. We sow the seed, our Father. This is your holy word. It's not the word of a man, the word of God. In thy name I pray. Amen. As I've told you before, I've been to Ephesus. It was one of the most remarkable places on this earth. Quite a thing. To be able to walk down a street that's 2,000 years old, look down at the bottom of that street, and there's what they call the library. And then you could go around to the corner. I just remember the layout. Walk around to the right, and there's the amphitheater where for hours they yell, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." It was quite a place. It was as high as you could get culturally. It was these folks were as well educated as you could find anyone in that day. They had things that other people just dreamed about, had no idea it would even existed. So Ephesus was, if you might say, it was not a backwoods pagan place. Ephesus had their gods. But the Bible tells us here that in the midst of this place, from Ephesus, the Lord built his church. He said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." In the book of Daniel, you've got four successive Gentile kingdoms following one and another. You've got Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. Then you've got the Medes and the Persians, Xerxes. And then you've got the Grecians under Alexander the Great. And then finally you've got Rome, this mighty iron place. A Rome that was in power 2,000 years ago when Christ was here. The Roman Empire. But as all Gentile empires fail, every single one of them went belly up. And it makes you wonder what's happening today with the Gentile powers. There may be a realignment of power in this world happening right now. You're living through historical times. You're watching things develop before your very eyes. And the historians will look back upon this time and say, something profound has happened and has changed. As America, as you have known it, will never be the same again. There's no doubt in my mind about that whatsoever. I've been here long enough to know that it'll never be the way it was. I was born into the America of 1946 and grew up right after the World War II. I'm a baby boomer. And I remember a time in America when the spirit was entirely different than the spirit is now. It was a time when people packed the churches and the Word of God was preached and people loved the Lord. It was a time when homosexuality, sodomy, and all the rest of it stayed in the closet. It was always been around, but it was in the peripheral. It wasn't out in your face like it is now. And it was a time when people had convictions about things. They believed something. They felt something. And it wasn't all intellectual as it is now. Today it's simply a matter of convenience. Most things happen today out of convenience, not out of real conviction. So the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 2 that these people God quickened. Now I don't have to tell you if you're quickened. I don't have to tell you that at all. Because if you are quickened, you're quickened. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Something happened to you. For 27 years, I lived in that world. For 27 years, I lived in the world of the modern culture of America today. What you see every time you walk out of this building, what's lived out before you, that's the world that I lived in for 27 years. Till I heard from heaven, God spoke to my heart, and when he did, he saved my soul. And he wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. When he did that, he changed me. But it's not only so much a change as to what you believe. This is important. But it's a change of who you are. Because something happens inside you. And that's the coming of the Holy Spirit who awakens, who gives life. He quickens, the Bible says. And you hath he quickened who were dead in sins and trespasses. So you might be the greatest thing in your religion. You may be a worshiper of Diana. You may be the most wonderful thing of your culture. But the truth of the matter is, without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're dead. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see, sin will kill you. The wages of sin is death. You can play with a rattlesnake and make a friend of it and think you've got a pet, but one day it'll sink its fangs into you and you'll die at the hands of that rattlesnake. Or you may have an anaconda, or you may have a boa constrictor, or you may have a Burmese python and keep it in the house as a pet, but one day it may eat your little baby that you find in the crib. Amen. You've got to be careful what you make friends with. So the scripture says, you have to be quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We all know where it came from. It started with Adam, and it was passed down from him. But aren't you glad the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ became sin for us who knew no sin? That God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself? That he paid the price for sin and he annulled it. The ability to sin, to damn and destroy, was done away with in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad for that, because man couldn't do it. Nothing could do that. Only he could do that. So he says, in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. When you study the book of Daniel, you'll find out that every nation on this earth has a prince. It's got a spiritual power that oversees that. We know from the Daniel chapter number 12 that Michael is the power that oversees Israel. And we know that the name Michael means who is like God. So Michael, the Bible says, is a chief prince. In other words, he's an archangel. And he watches over Israel. Let me tell you something. You don't want to mess with an archangel. One angel in the Old Testament killed 186,000 of Sennacherib's troops. Don't mess with archangels. They have enormous power. What's that mean? God said, Abraham, I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse him that curseth thee. And that's to this very day, nothing has changed. If you want to be on the right side of God in history and politics, then side with Israel. You know what Harry Truman did at the end of World War II, don't you? Harry Truman was one of the first ones to recognize Israel as a sovereign nation. He didn't half-step in doing it. His own chief of staff, Marshall, four-star general, five-star, I think, at the time, told him, he said, if you choose to acknowledge the sovereignty of Israel as a nation, he says, I will withdraw from you. He said, I will do everything I can to stop you and stop your presidency. And of course, the reason that George Marshall was doing that is because he thought that by doing this, by acknowledging the sovereignty of Israel, that the winds of war would begin to blow across the Middle East. In other words, we just came out of World War II. We're going to be going into another war if you acknowledge Israel. Well, it didn't happen, did it? No, the next war was Korea. It wasn't that. And then it was Vietnam. And now on and on and on and on. Boy, we've had some good wars, haven't we? Oh, yeah. If you like wars, we've had all kinds of them. And the truth of the matter is, they're bigger and better coming down the pike. All kinds of wars. World War III is going to come, too. Albert Pike, back in the 1800s, talked about three world wars. And he said in preface to that third world war, he said they would be marching in the streets. Anarchists would be in the streets. They'd be looting and they'd be burning. And an anarchist is somebody who turns against the rule of law. He has no law. That's anarchy. And these people are marching in the street and they're burning the buildings and they're looting. And this is what he said would happen in preface to that third world war. Well, we may be in the middle of it right now. We may be in the midst of the beginning. This is the beginning of the beginning, and it's going to happen, and we're not going to do anything to change it, but I'm glad, thank God, for one thing. The heavens are going to open, and he's going to call his people out of here. He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that salvation in 1 Thessalonians 4 has nothing to do with the saving of your soul, like to be born again, which is a wonderful thing. It has to do with saving you from the event, saving you from what's going to be transpiring. So we don't look for the death. We don't look for wars. We don't look for you know, the kingdoms of this world, for one Gentile kingdom after another. You're living in a Gentile kingdom. You understand that, don't you? You understand that the American flag and the flag of Israel compared one to another, which one do you think God is going to lift up and make sure it lasts on this earth? He calls them the ancient people, And they are the ancient people and will forever be the ancient people. And they're the canary in the mine. They're the rod. They're the bellwether. Israel is the mark of everything that God has to do with humanity. And here's what he said about Jerusalem. He said, if you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, get ready. Get ready. He said, I'll make Jerusalem a burdensome stone. Get ready. Every nation on this earth has a policy as it relates to Jerusalem. Did you know that? You can go down to Brazil and ask them what they think about New York. They couldn't care less. You can go down to you can go to the Czech Republic and ask them what they think about Chicago, and they say, so what? But every country has a policy as it relates to Israel and Jerusalem. Wonder why? You ever wonder why? It's because that's the center point of history. That's the start of all of it. That's the hub of the axle. That's it. Right? That's what. Keep your eye on Jerusalem, for there is the Lord Jesus Christ going to come in His power and great glory. So in Ephesians chapter number 2, in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where we are. We're not dealing with flesh and blood, folks. I know you see flesh and blood people out here, but these people are energized by a spiritual force far greater than them. They may not know it. They may not acknowledge that, but that's irrelevant. There is a spiritual power. There's a canopy coming down over this country. And thank God for the people in this nation who still love the Lord, who still believe the Bible, who still pray. And there are many of them. There are millions in this country. No question about it. But if something doesn't happen in America, it's choosing a progressive course. And your definition of progressive and my definition of progressive are two entirely different things. Amen. What they call progressive, I call regressive. What they say is the way it ought to be, I say no, thank God it hadn't been that way, and it shouldn't be that way. But that's what's happening. Amen. The Gentile kingdoms, all the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. Revelation 11. That's why He's coming back. He's coming back for the kingdoms of the world. But folks, the most important thing with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning is not the kingdoms of this world. It's His church. His body. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Say, how do you get into the church, preacher? You're born into it. Say, wait a minute. You mean when I'm born and I come into the world? And no, that has nothing to do with it. It's the new birth that puts you into the church of the living God. Have you been born again? Did you know the church today? Here's the problem with the church. The church today, the new birth, is an intellectual thing that they assent to. They agree that it's something, but they don't know what it is. They haven't experienced it. And once you ever have, friends, you'll never accept a substitute. Once you've ever had the new birth, you will never accept a substitute. For you know the truth. And you know what it is for the Holy Ghost to live in you. All of a sudden your eyes are opened. All of a sudden you got something jumping up and down in your soul. All of a sudden you feel this lifting of this sin and this burden that you've borne all of your life. All of a sudden you hear things you didn't hear before. All of a sudden you have a desire for something spiritual. All of a sudden your relationship with God now becomes a personal thing. He's not a God out here who you read the Bible and you got the Ten Commandments and you got all of the things as they relate one way or another with God. It's not that anymore. It's you and God. That's what the new birth is about. And I'm afraid that they've quit preaching that. He said, the Spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Notice he makes no distinction whatsoever. He doesn't say, you know, you were born a bunch of good people, you've been good religious people, and God just made you a little better. No. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And I love what he says in verse 11. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. And such were some of you. It's like this. God will take anything. I don't care how sorry and low down. I don't care what you've done. I don't care. It's not my call anyway. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. It gives you a picture of that in the valley of dry bones. No hope. Dead bones, no hope. We went downtown not too long ago. We went down under the bridge to try to help somebody. Some of the saddest things I've ever seen in my life. It makes me sad when I see people's lives. It does, folks. It just grieved me. Young people, some of them, living in filth, addicted to drugs. Physically, no hope. Physically, there's no hope, but it's not physical, it's spiritual. The answer is not physical, the answer is spiritual. And all it takes is the word spoken, the word received, the word believed, and they can have hope. They can come out of that thing, and they can be lifted up. Praise be unto God. In the Old Testament, there's a child born. It's lying in the field, still covered with the afterbirth. And nothing, nobody, nothing, nothing at all gives any pity toward it. Here it is, lying in the field. But God said, when I passed by thee and saw thee, I said unto thee, live. Amen. Live. Notice that it's just a word spoken. Notice that God does not clean somebody up to make them better. You ever notice that? It's the word spoken. See? What did he tell him to do to these bones, this dry bones? What did he say? Speak. The word spoken. And so he did. He went down to the potter's house. Jeremiah said, the Lord said, Jeremiah, I want you to show you something. Went down to the potter's house. And that's amazing. You ever watch a potter? That's one of the most interesting things you ever saw in your life. Just take a ball of clay, throw it down on a wheel, start, and you'll see that if they know what they're doing, they just reach in and they just reach down. And the first thing you know, you've got a bowl coming out of there, or you've got a cup, or you've got a something. Those hands and the water next to it. And the water's a picture of the Holy Spirit, because the hand never directly touches the clay. The hand has to be wet. And so the hand wet, the wetness is the medium between the touching of the hand and the clay. Just like the Holy Spirit is the medium between God's hand touching us, the Holy Ghost, and then He forms us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I mean, Abraham said, Lord, I am but dust and ashes. That's really all we are, isn't it? Dust and ashes. Until the potter puts his hand on you. And I'm so glad, thank God, because he knows what he wants. He knows what he wants. But then the grace of God intervenes. And what's the grace of God? Well, it was marred in the hand of the potter. So what did he do? Well, he picked it up and threw it off in the corner. Now, you all know your Bible. You know that's not so. What did he do? He made it again into another. Now, some of you, your lives, you lived for God. You loved Him. His hand was upon you. Some reason or another, you were marred in His hand. But thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. He didn't quit. He put His hand back on you again, and He's fashioned you in what He wants you to be, and it'll bring glory to God. Just let Him do it. And the key to all of that is the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost. Praise be to God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.
Pastor, even when a potter will fix the clay or put it in the oven, he'll bake it, and in the baking process, sometimes there's a crack.
Yeah.
And that potter will take that bowl and take blood from a lamb. He'll take that and mix it with a little bit of clay, and he'll put it back in that crack. He'll fill that crack with that, and then he'll put it back in the kiln, and it'll mend that crack.
The blood of a lamb. No, oh, I didn't know that. No. But yeah. Amen. Father, bless your word. Thank you for the time we have together, coming to your house, the time we have to spend with our brothers and sisters, and for those in the house here today, they may not know you. We still love them. We still love them, and they are welcome. They're in the midst of friends. We pray for them. We pray you bless your word as it goes out. Father, it's streamed, and it'll be heard later. We pray that you'd bless the word. Our Father, we break it, and we bless it as Christ did that bread. And we do that. We ask you to bless it now. In Jesus' name, amen.